May the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, and our collective actions that follow bring joy to you, O Lord our God. Amen. So I was standing outside the opening retreat with the Johnson Service Corps when I called my mom. And I said, "Mom, I think I've made a mistake. I don't think I'm supposed to be here." And in a moment of uncomfortability, I doubted. And it's hard to ignore that feeling of doubt. And the feeling of doubt and fear that is on display in this morning's gospel. It's hard to ignore the doubt we feel some days about the state of our world. And it's impossible to ignore the fear that's being conjured up on the nightly news. Which is why this morning's gospel comes with that comforting reminder that, again, we are more like the disciples than we care to admit. We doubt, we fear, and we challenge God in times of conflict. We say, "Oh Lord, if this is you," we doubt for the same reasons the disciples do. We doubt because we don't know the rest of our stories, just like the disciples don't know the rest of theirs. And it would be really easy for me to stand up here and to say things about the doubt that the disciples are displaying, because I know how the rest of their walk with Jesus goes. In fact, we're often informed about the end of their story before we get into the meat and heart of it all. We're told that Jesus will die for the sins of the world and pay the ultimate price through his death and humiliation. And we know that he will be in the grave for 3 days, and we know he'll conquer sin and death through his resurrection. But they don't know that in this morning's gospel. They don't know what the rest of their walk with Christ looks like yet. Just like us. Just like us, the disciples were trying to figure out what the nature of their relationship to this Christ guy looks like. So let's put this morning's gospel into context. It's important to remember that Peter's only been walking with Christ for a length of time that we can only measure out to be as 10 chapters. And in order to understand how the collective disciples were able to move from their position of doubt and fear to full knowledge of who Christ is, we have to incorporate another story. You see, in Matthew chapter 8, we have this interaction. And so Jesus gets on the boat and his disciples follow him. A windstorm arises on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. And they went to him and they woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Notice that? Did you catch it? They don't fully know who Christ is yet. See, this story and in this morning's gospel together show a group of individuals who are working on identifying what's going on right in front of their very eyes. They're trying to figure out exactly who God is and their relationship to God, just like we are every day. And so in chapter 8, they end with that amazement and skepticism. "What sort of man is this? Even the winds and sea obey him." And here in chapter 14, they're finally starting to see the whole picture. And it's because they remember what happened just 6 chapters ago. By remembering what happened on the previous boat ride, they were able to come to the understanding of the miracle they had just witnessed and be able to say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The disciples were able to move from their position of doubt and fear to a position of hope and understanding by remembering not only the marvels that are happening right in front of them, but the marvels that have happened in their past as well. And when you look at the writings of the Old Testament, and specifically today's Psalm as well, remembering what the Lord hath done on our behalf is the driving point. Right before we get to the Ten Commandments, God reminds us, "Hey, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God has brought you out of there with a mighty and outstretched arms? Don't forget to teach your children and your children's children about that." The psalmist this morning tells us, "Speak of his marvelous works and to remember the marvels that he has done." Then they continue to praise God for a specific marvel, which happens to be the story that we read in Genesis. Today's entire psalm is about remembering what God did on behalf of Jacob so that they can have the hope that God will continue with that same blessing for them. The Israelites are singing this hymn to God in praise for what he has done in the past, with the conviction that he will do it again on their behalf in the future. See, remembering the ways in which God has been at work in our life is central to understanding who God is. And with that, we can begin to cultivate a sense of true hope. And when we forget, it only serves to leave us in a position of doubt. And when I forgot, when I called my mom, I was in a moment when Christ called me out onto the waters, and I sank. See, I arrived at the Johnson Service Corps, and I doubted my call. I doubted where God had led me, because the winds around me had changed. I was in a brand new social context, where it was no longer that of the straight white male talking about sports and talking about the next time we'd be sporting together. I didn't have my social circle anymore. I felt alone, out on the sea, and mentally, I began to sink. And I was put in this position of doubt because I had forgotten about all of the mountains that had just been moved to get me to where I was in that moment. I forgot about all the ways in which God had made sure that certain things fell through for me to have that opportunity to be there with the Johnson Service Corps. See, I had changed my entire career plan that summer before graduating college. I had planned to be a law enforcement officer my entire life. I was arresting classmates in kindergarten. I was taking criminal justice classes in high school. And that criminology degree was 2 semesters away. But I knew that I was called to something different. I knew what I had planned was not actually going to lead me to the joyful life that I need. So I called former youth pastors and rectors. I sent applications to many different service locations and ultimately accepted one in the Northeast. I was set to go for months. I had all of my own plans being drawn up in my head until the month before move-in, and the program didn't have any funding, and everything fell through. But by the grace of God, there was another spot left in me at the Johnson Service Corps. And I don't know all of the mountains that were moved to ensure that I was placed where I needed to be. But when I was where I needed to be, within 24 hours, I doubted out of a brief moment of uncomfortability. Even when I knew the full story of Christ's victory over the grave, and I fully understood that all things work together for the good of those who follow the Lord, I doubted. And my doubt almost got in my own way, because I needed to be there. Because now I can look back and see all the ways in which God was, and still is, preparing me for this ministry. God was preparing me for the kingdom of heaven and to work in God's kingdom, because it's home to people of all shades, all shapes, orientations, and nationalities. And there is a true divine beauty in that. And it's a beauty that I would have missed out on had I sat in that doubt. Had I let myself sit in that doubt, I would have been shocked by that beauty when I entered the kingdom. Had I continued to let myself sit in that fear and doubt, I would have left. I would have left the service corps. If I had never reached out to my mom, who then encouraged me to reach out to God, I would have left, because they both took time to encourage me, to remind me of the mountains that had just been moved. If I had sat in that doubt, I wouldn't have made incredible friendships. I wouldn't have led any kind of ministry. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have made it to Duke. I wouldn't be prepared for the kingdom of heaven or ministry. My doubt would have left me shackled. And I am thankful that I was able to move beyond my doubt by remembering all of the things that had taken place for me to get to where I was, so that I could confidently say that I'm supposed to be where I am regardless of what this looks like or feels like. So I could walk forward in my service year with hope. So I didn't have to make that I made a mistake phone call when I arrived at Duke, because I had remembered everything that had previously taken place to get me to Duke. I was able to be hopeful for what was to come, even in moments of brief, momentary uncomfortability. Friends, we can no longer afford to doubt God. we can no longer afford to doubt God. Because when we doubt, we will sink, just like Peter. And I truly believe that in order to move away from that position of doubt and to move towards a position of hope, we must remember and give thanks for the times that Christ has called the seas for us. And I want to make something very clear, and it's that hope does not require us to ignore the winds, the waves, and the sea. But it does require us to orient ourselves towards God and to remember who has been working on our behalf in the past. And in order to remain hopeful, we must remember both prayers answered and unanswered. We must remember the ways for which God has prepared us for this moment to step out onto the waters. We must give thanks for the ways in which God has shown us unconditional love. And by remembering the ways in which God has been in our life and at work, we can continue the work of trying to understand who exactly God is in our nature, in the nature of our relationship to God. And in that, we can cultivate a true sense of hope, regardless of the waves in the sea. By remembering the ways in which God has been at work in our lives, we can move beyond our fear and doubt into hope. And we can come to know the one who immediately reaches out for us when we cry out. So today, let us follow the example of the psalmist and the disciples. Give thanks and praise today for the ways in which God has been with you. And walk in hope, never forgetting that God will always be there when you reach out for him. Amen.